41. We got a nice crowd here this morning. Good to see everyone out. Beautiful Lord's Day morning. Got no reason not to sing. 841. After we sing this song, we'll ask Brother Ken to lead our last prayer before we go to our classes. 841.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and prayers seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in His promises grand.
Sing and
be happy, press on to the goal.
Thank you. our study on the New Testament church, guys. We have been spending a number of months going through. Guys, we're able to regulate the air conditioning in here. So if it gets too cool or it gets too hot, we might be able to turn the fan off at least for a little while. If it gets a little warm, we can just crank up the air and let it come out. But it might drown our voice out a little bit. So, Tony, you want to get that fan for just turn it off for now? If it starts to get a little warm, we'll turn it back on. But the air's been working great. But you will not offend me or anybody here if you want to wander over there and turn it on if you start to feel hot. Okay, I'm going to give out some assignments of reading this morning. And I start at the front, I start at the back, and the middle always get ready. And so, Trey, we're going to start with you. Okay, Trey? And then we'll go from Trey over to Kim, back to Alan, and Big Dad. So, here's your assignment. So, Trey, please turn to Matthew 28, a great passage. The end of that one, Colossians 3:17. Kim? I'm giving you Colossians 3:17. Everybody should be able to quote that, but that's okay. Ellen, 2 Corinthians 5. I'll tell you the verse in a moment. Kelsey. Hebrews 10. Romans 5. Lori, please. Jeff? Yeah.
I got it.
I can't believe it.
Everybody's having a heart attack up here. I can't even remember our members.
1 Peter 1, I'll have you read that in just a few moments. Romans 10:17 for Heather. And then Dan, you get Mark 7, and that'll just pretty much cover what we're going to be dealing with today, because last week we talked about instrumental music. We talked about the importance of singing. Good discussion. Well, you know, all these passages have a theme that we're going to be running through today. And we can't stress this enough. And you're going to know, without even reading all those verses, what the theme is if I simply ask you, what makes us different in what we do than the denominational realm? What makes us different? You put it, sum it up in a line or probably some of those verses. What makes us different? Sing from the heart, but even in a general sense, even beyond singing, in a general sense, what really makes us different? Yeah.
I say worship.
Okay, and you're right on the right track, because the source of all of that, you know, we talk about what that produces within us. When we stay with just this, what does it produce? What does this produce in us? Faith. All the verses we're going to read has to do with faith. And that's what makes us different. We tell our religious friends, look, we would do it if it was authorized, but it's not authorized. That's just what makes us different. We're not here trying to reach, well, would it sound better? Would it be more convenient to do this? I told you guys before, talking about this subject and others. Really, from a practical standpoint, is there really any difference between taking up a collection Wednesday night, if we're all here, and Sunday? Is there really any difference from a practical standpoint? From a practical standpoint, you're gathering all the money. Is it harder to write a check on a Wednesday than on a Sunday? No, so we understand that there's really no difference from that aspect. But the major difference, obviously, is one is authorized, one isn't. And when we talk about anything, this particular section that we're in our outline on faith, is there a reason? 4 or 5 months ago, all the things that we've discussed. So let's do some reading today. Some really important passages, guys, I know you're familiar with, but I hope we never grow tired of reading them. Matthew 28, Trey, you have 18 through 20.
And he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Trey, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I said, I don't know of a religious group out there. Well, there are a lot, but there's a denomination around in our country here. They all talk about Jesus. They all emphasize Jesus. you just read? What is it that we acknowledge?
Yeah.
All. Not some. And I think that is huge. We tell people, you know, we say and we believe what the Bible says, that Jesus has all the authority. And you guys have heard me like a broken record. If that is true, how much authority do I have? How much does the local church have? And that shocks me in the religious realm. Local church, we have no authority. Christ has it all. And so whatever we do, we need to do by him. Oh, M's back. Colossians 3:17. What's it great?
Whatever you do in order to follow the Lord, God.
See, a lot of people read that verse like this. I know, coming out of the denomination realm. Their idea is, whatever you do in order to do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they'll do something unscriptural and they're saying, we're doing this for the Lord. We're doing it in his name. Is that what that is saying? Whatever we do, word or deed, right? We do by his name or by his authority. That's the difference. So it's not this idea that we'll do whatever we want and we're going to say we're going to do it for the Lord. What we're saying is whatever the Lord tells us to do, we will do it. That's the difference. It's a fundamental difference that the religious realm doesn't get. And I want us to understand that. Because that's going to prevent us from wandering off in areas, because you'll hear people seemingly use some pretty strong arguments for instrumental music that we discussed last week. Don't think they can't put up a good argument. But what's going to hold you on track? What's going to hold you on track?
That is.
And that's your faith, guys. That is your faith. You, as a race, you walk. Well, I'm getting ahead of you. Keep grabbing all these phrases from the verse that we're about to talk about. 2 Corinthians. Ellen, you've got 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Okay, show me how we could raise that verse when people want to talk about the use of instrumental music in worship. How is it they're abusing that? They're doing the opposite. What will they say to defend it? Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great. Now you're going to use that sight, the physical, rather than the spiritual. And you have to be careful of that. And then obviously, if it's not based on faith, then it's based on an emotion. So a person can say, well, I just can't see the harm. Or I think God is just going to love them. When you start venturing off from the authority of our Lord, when that happens, what have you done? You have opened up the door. That's what we start telling you. You open up the floodgate. You know, there's water on the other side of the door. Let me just take a peek. What happened? All right? And that's all I'm trying to get us to see. We can't give a little bit in any area because we're always saying there's a cry for consistency. And with these passages, these fundamentals that we're going to be talking about, Noah and Moses, in just a few moments, some of their examples, trying to get us to see that this is not traditional. Speaking of tradition, well, that's going to be the last communication. The last assignment with Dan. Dan is going to be dealing with that in a few moments, so I won't spend a lot on that. Hebrews chapter 10, 37 through 39, tell us. Known anybody that's become a Christian and then just, you know what, I kind of like the denominational route more. Have you ever known that to happen? And if you haven't, it happens a lot. And the reason why is because they like the truth they heard, but what happened is they start to get pulled back into that. And I've given this confession before, it might not bother you as much as it bothers me. When I go up to the radio station, and I push that button, and scan them all, and it'll stop for 5 seconds on each one, it'll go through the Christian radio, and it'll stop on Christian music for 5 seconds. Right back there. I mean, it takes me right back to the group I used to belong to. And I knew that's what they did in that group, and they would get you worked up. And that was the point. And they don't even realize that's what it's doing. And I'm just saying that there is that physical pull. We have to look beyond that by just simply saying, look, I'm not going to doubt anything. The Lord has said he's going to be my goal. Our biggest struggle in life isn't so much what the Word of God said. Our struggles are, why did he say that? We could argue all day, why did he say to do something a certain way? But it's the what. We don't have any problem. Because I told you last year, people who support instrumental music, when you talk with them, you say, is it wrong for me not to use it? 100% always say, it's not wrong for me not to.
Just like the principle that you said, the culture, you know, they were still Jews, right? But once they converted, they're still Jews. And the culture, there were so many things that they did under the law that
you know what? That is. You can see the connection between this class and our Wednesday night class on to the book of Hebrews. We sit back, well, we don't have that problem when we go back under the old law. You got to remember, they converted those people, and now they became Christians, and they're wanting to be pulled back in their old way. That's what happens to us when we have been converted out of denominationalism, is there is that pull to want to go back or at least bring some of those things over. That's the danger. That's why we got to keep harping. I didn't say harping. Preaching on these fundamentals. Yes, move on. Hebrews chapter 5, right? You need to talk the first principles again. And then chapter 6, he says, now you need to move on. So in that short span, he's saying, you know, you need to go back to the beginning. Then he says, you need to move on. That's because you don't lose these things. The very things we're talking about today, guys. You've got to move on. I mean, he comes right out of chapter 5. Just, you have fallen from grace. You know, if you think you can be justified by circumcision, they're just. And that's what they went through. And I think that's how we can identify with this guy, because we have all these physical things. Maybe we haven't come out of this denominationalism, but we came out of the world, didn't we? Came out of the world, all of us. And so there's that tendency to want to bring the world in and their standards. And that's what Romans 12 is all about. Warren?
Well, I think a lot of tradition. Denominationalism produced tradition. Even though if you didn't come out of the denomination, you came out of the world and you had music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they had utilized those tools of the past, right, to help people come back. And you would, if you were a person who really enjoys that, it would naturally be this thing. But it's not what the Lord wanted. Or he would have said, if the music is your choice, whether it's rap or pop or whatever it is, to make yourself feel good. He didn't say that.
Excellent point, Warren, because why do you think when I was around, Christian rock wasn't too popular, even though it was in the denomination? But it was gaining a foothold on the young people. And so then they're doing more and more of that. And that's just evidence of it. Like just looking around.
I'm not confused in order, but I went to the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing. I could not.
But you're going to find people are comfortable with that. Romans 5, glory. First two verses, Romans 5.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction from faith into the grace of the Lord to stand, and we have built his hope before his death.
Wow, love it. I love the fact that he uses that word justified. Now, you guys, you hear me say it over and over. What's justified mean? I would tell you this. Justified, if Caleb and Daniel, and, you know, that they're arguing with one another and somebody gets hit, and says, well, I was justified. What does he think? When he says, I was justified in doing this, what's his mind think? He had a right to do it. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Justified means to be without fault. He said, or Lord, she said, And yet so many people think beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are justified and they're doing the wrong thing. That's our criminal system. Everybody's innocent. But remember, their mindset, when I worked in the prison, their mindset was, when I asked them, did you commit this crime? Well, yeah, I did that. They admitted it. But when they said they were innocent, they were saying, but I had a right to do it. So let's understand something. That's what the religious realm is doing. They're saying, I know what it says, but we're doing it because we have a right to do this. We are justified. We're justified not by faith, but because we're walking by sight or our feelings, the physical, rather than the spirit. When that creeps in, guys, apostasy is just around the corner. And I think the concept of instrumental music is just really a tip of the iceberg how this affects every aspect of what we do and what we do in our lives. We're excited for and how God expects us to live. All right, we have 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Here all morning, but we don't. But he talks again, whom we have not seen yet, we love, though we do not see him yet believing. It's that confidence, guys. And we're not talking about the same confidence, a strong faith isn't just this idea of a strong feeling. Because if a strong feeling proved that you were right, who would be right in this world? Mankind? Everybody. Well, I think more of the people who put a bomb on themselves walk into a crowd. You think they have a strong faith? Yeah, if you're going to die for it. Okay, but that's not what he's talking about. We have a strong faith. It's not just a strong feeling. Now, feelings can come from a strong faith. We have emotions. We can rejoice. We can be happy. We can praise God. But we remember it all. It's the confidence we have in this that makes us different than everybody else in the world. Let's get that. That's what makes us different. Doesn't mean they can't. Doesn't mean we can't reach them. But the power is in here, and we acknowledge that. That's what's going to keep us on the straight. Now, if we bring up the subject of instrumental music, we're just saying, you know what? The genuineness of our faith is what's going to save us in the end. That's what he's talking about. We're going to be justified by faith. So if there's ever that doubt in your mind of saying, Chuck, I really don't know if the piano would really hurt that. I'm not thoroughly convinced. You might be there. I'm glad we don't use it. You know, I know 100% we can be pleasing to God without it, but I'm not quite convinced 100% that a piano would hurt. That's why we're having this. Okay? Because we're talking about if that's okay, you've got to be consistent. If that's okay, what does it mean? What would it mean? If you're right that a piano wouldn't hurt, then what does that mean? TJ? Yeah, that's one of them. For sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, there it is. I'm just saying, guys, you do one thing, just one thing here, without scriptural authority, you can do 1,000 things. And if not, why not? That's what I tell people. And I'll do that in Bible studies with people. I'll throw an extreme at it. I'll throw an extreme at it and say, why is this wrong? And when I study with my my liberal brethren, I'll bring up a denominational example. And they'll say, oh, that's wrong. Why is that wrong? And then you go to Romans chapter 2, you do the very same thing. But see, the thing is, they're comparing, they think it's apples and oranges. They're saying, well, I'm talking to piano, you're talking an orchestra, Chuck, and I'm going, what's the difference? And they're going, boy, you don't see a difference, you have a problem. See, they're saying, I have a problem. See, because they've opened the door. And you have to see, no, don't get on the defensive with them. You're always on the offense when you stand with the thus saith the Lord, which I really like now. Well, you can just quote this one, Romans 10, 17, right, Heather? People don't understand in the world today where our source of faith comes from. And when that happens, if you don't understand that's the source, then we don't have the trust and the power to be. How can I help that person? How can I help that person? Give them the word, guys. It also is the power of God and salvation. Well, they've got all these. I invite people, they see we don't have an instrument, they keep it. We're different. People are looking for the truth they want. Yeah, that's as simple as that. You're here today. Everyone is. You're here today with an attitude of just, what does the Bible have to say? If that didn't matter to you, how many of you passed religious groups today? Everybody, right? Why don't you just go closer to home? Do you understand this? Need to know why. Remember, not just what you believe, but why you believe. Now we're down to that crucial text, guys. In Mark chapter 7. Let's turn over there because Dan's going to read a number of verses for us. Mark chapter 7. Now I'm going to get you to actually back up. It says 7 through 13, but start with 6, please. Great sermon, I like. Great sermon. What's the Lord saying? I mean, you put it in layman's terms here. How did they go about justifying it? What did they do?
Today is very similar to what you just been talking about. There's nothing new under the sun. Mankind are even trying to do their own thing. From even that, here's a great example of mankind living on tradition, and it's okay because it's man's tradition, and we've just always been doing it this way. So it's okay. And the writer here is saying that's not okay.
Guys, work with me here for a moment. Tradition. Have traditions, any tradition you can think of, has any tradition always been a tradition? Why'd you say no? They always had to begin. So what happens? What do you call it at the beginning? You call it something new. You can't say, well, we've always done it this way. No. In 20 years from now or 100 years from now, you might want to say, we've always. But you know what? You can never say, anybody that follows a tradition, they can never look at you and say, we've always done it this way. No, you haven't always done it this way. There was a beginning point. There was a beginning point. Yes. In their lifetime, they've always done it that way. Exactly. And that's why when we talk about us, what we're doing here, we say, we've always done it this way. Because we're going back to when the church started. Jesus purchased it with his own blood. And so how the church worships God in spirit and truth is what we're doing today. And we're not interested in the traditions of men that he talks about, that Dan just mentioned there. That whole idea, you know, but you say, if a man said, when they come back, as it was being read and Aaron was talking, what came into my mind was Malachi 1. Where have we offered bad sacrifice to you? You know, where have we done wrong? You know, we offered the blind, the lame, the sitting there, what have we done wrong? And you almost get the impression here, like, well, what did we do wrong?
And if he answered that first time, you rejected the commandment of God. That your tradition has caused you to reject the commandment of God. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about everything that you just said about the denominational world. And the singing, the instruments, and things like that. For them, that's tradition.
Yeah.
That's tradition. It's become part of their tradition. And so to hear the commandment of God is going to be very similar to hear something new.
Yes.
They're not used to hearing what the commandment of God is. And I think a lot of them don't realize that there's something wrong. You mentioned institutional and liberal brethren earlier. They don't know something's wrong if you don't show them the Word of God of where it's different.
Well, and not only that, I get this idea too, is that, you know, they even have the world on their side. You know, denominational people, if you have a person who's not a Christian, in their sense of the word even, when they come in, what they see, they expect. Okay, so they have the world on their side. Kim? There's purpose for us coming together, not only just to study the Word of God and worship God, glorify Him, but it's helping each one of us stay on the straight and narrow because of what you're talking about. If you don't think you're being tempted to be a little looser in your thinking, you're mistaken, because we're all being tempted to be looser in our thinking and to compromise in certain areas just to fit in. The examples that we have in here that we have talked about for years, which are always good to go back, guys remember the story of Noah, right? When God told him to build the ark. You guys remember the specifics that he told? One of the things that we often raise that God told Noah to do. Make it out of what? What? But what? Why couldn't he use something else? You guys get it, right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. We're sitting there thinking, okay, God told them this. We don't have a problem with the what. We don't have problems with the what. We have the problem with the why. That's what's struggling with people. And I need to raise this right now. Why do people struggle with the why? There's a reason. Understand? What do we all struggle with? Why do we have stop signs? Why do we have a law enforcement officer? I mean, what do we struggle with? Man, we have struggled with authority. We struggle with not having our own authority. We struggle with not being able to make our own rules. Do children struggle with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do employees struggle with that?
Yeah.
Okay. We struggle with these ideas. Somebody tells us you have to do this. And we like the idea that we, you know, if you have your own choice, be the boss or work for the boss, what would you sooner do?
Yeah.
Now somebody says, I don't want the headache. No, the idea is that you like the idea of telling somebody else rather than somebody telling you what to do. I don't think that creeps into the religious room, but you know it does. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Look like you're going to say something. Oh, okay. Well, you deal with this all the time. You know, principal? Yeah. And I don't want to criticize teachers, but I mean, does that ever happen where the teacher wants to take the role of a principal?
Never.
Okay, good. And the children always do what the teacher says.
Absolutely.
Okay.
He did it okay.
So we survive. Why do we think it can't affect us? If it affects everything else around us, we have our head in the sand to say, that doesn't happen. It can't happen. That's why we have to be on guard and work with it, as he talks about. And then, of course, Moses with the red heifer, number 19. You know, all these examples. Remember Leviticus 10? Anybody remember that one? Nadab and Abihu, what they do? Off that strange fire. Why bring that one up? Fire's fire, right? From the seven. Fire. Fire's fire, right? What's the difference? Why is fire different? It's like I'm asking the same silly question over and over. Yeah, but when you look at flames, both burn.
I was thinking about subtlety of faith. Something that's blatantly opposed to flashes at them. They like danger, danger. You know, but something that's very subtle is a lot harder for us to deal with. Well, maybe just not.
Now, I'll tell you what. Let's back up to last week's slide. Want to know the subtlety? We sit here and go, don't have a piano.
I'll pay attention
to words. See, there's a subtle. At least we don't have an issue. I go where we don't have an issue.
Okay, I'm pretty good. You say no.
You know, it doesn't do any good. And if our heart's not in it, we're not singing with the understanding, we don't want to praise God, we're not thinking about Him. And that's why that spirit and the truth all comes into play here. So we don't want to go to extremism here, folks. You know, one without the other. And because there can be people who use the instrument, and I don't deny the fact that people can use an instrument and have their heart in it. You see, this is the one thing that can, because there are people who will say, the reminded me of some passages that we read earlier, what about the person who sits there and the instrument's gone and says, no, Jeff, I don't use the instrument. Well, but you go when there is one. Yeah, I brought that in. I'm just singing to the Lord. I've had that said to me. Your response? What's that? If you're not against something, you're for something. Okay? The cause and effect. You know, if you thought of a playground, you do this, this is going to happen. You just can't. Right? I mean, you just can't go against it. And so that whole idea of being against it. So the person says, well, I'm just singing. Well, first of all, you're singing to one another, right? You let that last.
mine work, I was in the nomination, is when a guy got up with an accordion and he says, today's song is called How Much I Love the Lord. And it's just notes. There's no words. And I'm thinking to myself, that's just notes. No words. It's just a melody. And then when he's done, everybody's happy that we just praise God. And see that whole mindset of knowing that there's something wrong all along. And we always have to keep our guard up. And I like the point you mentioned earlier. The subtle way. That's what we have to guard against. Everywhere you go, guys, I always tell young people, where you go up or you attend somewhere else, make sure the preacher doesn't avoid and to go back and remind yourself of that. No, once I'll go back and I'll go, and when's the last time I preached a good old fashioned sermon on Baptist? It's been years, yeah. You got well rounded on all subjects. Okay, we're about to go into the Lord's Supper, but we don't have to abandon this completely just yet. If you had some other thoughts to present, last week, this week, importance of singing to God, act of worship. This might take 6 minutes. Are we violating anything when Keith got up and sang a song? Or that? We're song leaders. We're song book. Violation. Put it in the same category, okay? Whiteboard. I mean, the list goes on. PowerPoint. Put it in a microphone. Yeah, a little bit spicy. Yeah, I've seen those. Now they've got them where they just put their iPhone and they hit their nose. Wow. Of generic and specific authority. Keith mentioned earlier, we talked about Goldberg rule. Okay, that was specific. Okay. What kind of tool? Did God specify exactly what kind of tool? And so when he talked about us singing, we can sing. Do we have to stand when we sing? Can we stand when we sing? Yeah, and see, the point is, as long as you achieve the goal, preach the word. Do you use the right word? Well, yeah. Are you preaching another gospel with the white word? Well, no. Okay, right? These are just aid. There's a difference between an aid and an addition. Okay? Right. He just didn't say go for wood, go for it. He actually built the ark. And what was implied within that is you can use tools. All right. And we have tools that we use. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How can you go? Yeah. Any more transportation that's out there? Just go and do it. And that's the point where we're talking about what we're singing that we're doing. Make sure that we think this through and talk about it. And you're not going to offend anybody when you put up your hand and say, Chuck, is it okay that we write the song? Well, that's silly. No, there's no such thing as a foolish question by the Bible. What's a foolish question? And what else? Because he actually mentioned there was such thing as a foolish question. If you're asking a question to stir up trouble, you're not really interested in the answer, you don't really want to know, then you're getting yourself into trouble. No. Guys, in this class, there is no foolish question. You want to know the answer. When you add and violate, when you violate the command, when you, in other words, you're going to go preach the gospel, okay? The expediency, and Paul talked about that, the subject of authority, guys. It's good, because there's been a long time, but I did it in a meeting not too long ago, okay? I did testing to test him. Good call. We've all been growing up with direct command, necessary inference, and things example. I said, has anybody ever tested? I said, it's kind of like when somebody says, take this, pour it into some water, but
Did anybody ever test that? And so that's the point. Test the testing. Make sure we talk about that. And so it's easy for me just to quickly tell you, don't turn the addition into the aid into an addition. Okay. Don't violate the command. But it doesn't open the floodgate. That's what makes for a good study in the area of general and specific authority. You know, that which is a necessary inference or necessary conclusion. Okay? Necessary conclusion. It makes for a great study. I'm trying to think what they call it. Syllogism. You guys never hear that? Well, all a syllogism is this. If all crows are black and Chuck is a crow, Chuck is what?
Black.
Okay, that's called a syllogism. So if you go on, you know, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. Okay. Bill believes and baptized, therefore Bill what?
Saved.
Okay, so that concept is there. And so when you talk about these areas, and I just want to reassure you that when you study this through, it's not a floodgate, okay? It doesn't open the door. There are limitations placed upon that, like Paul preached on. And don't let an expediency do more harm than good, which we will discuss.
I wasn't saying, I don't...
No, I get that.
Yeah.
But you have to explain.
That people use that word. You know, they can use that word to explain away a lot.
Exactly. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Minute, you know, I think when you do that, you take away from, you know, the word that we can use. So we can go and do it again. You know, you don't have to have all
that. And Kim, and I'm very well aware of the fact that somebody can say, that piano over there, that's just a name. They use that argument. But when you understand the difference between the two, guys, we'll talk more good stuff. We'll get into the Lord's Supper next week. Again, all about authority.